I'm going to talk about, though, the first section of the 15th chapter. Begin reading in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, the Heavenly Father, he is the one that cares for the garden. He's the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now I want you to notice something at the onset of this. There's a progression. He says, first of all, everyone that's in me bears fruit. Then he talks about being pruned. He says, not only do you bear fruit, there's a progression here. There's fruit, then there's more fruit, and then we're going to get to the next verse where it talks about much fruit. So we have fruit, okay, more fruit, and much fruit. The objective and goal of us abiding in Christ is to bring forth fruit, okay? I don't want you to miss that. There are several things that I want you to pick up on as we read this reading lesson. Not only do I want you to realize that abiding in Christ, and that's going to be the title of my message, the blessings of abiding in Christ. The blessings of abiding in Christ. That's going to be the title of my message. But there are several things that he lists in this particular reading lesson concerning abiding in Christ. The first one is, of course, fruit. If you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. Then he begins, as we go on down, you're going to hear some things said about prayer. That God is faithful in answering our prayers. If we abide in God, if we abide in Christ, if we abide in spiritual things, if we abide in those things that are in God's holy word, if we abide in the teaching and words of Jesus Christ, if we abide in the Messiah, the true vine, okay, His life will be extended to us, or His life will be put in us to where we can produce fruit. We are the branches, He is the vine. But not only that, He is faithful to answer our prayers. So we have fruit, we have the faithfulness of God to answer our prayers. Third thing that we're going to notice in this reading lesson is that we will give the Father glory. If you abide in Christ, you'll be fruitful. Your prayers will be answered because God is faithful to answer our prayers when we abide in Him. Thirdly, we will give glory to the Father. And lastly, we'll find in verse 11, there will be a fullness of glory. We will receive the glory of Christ and we'll have the fullness of joy and the fullness of glory in the end. Now, I hope that we have the joy set before us that one day we will enter into His glory. Remember what he said in the beginning of the 14th chapter? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that's the end result, amen? In my Father's house are many mansions. One of these days, I'm going to heaven. Okay, I've been saved by the grace of God. Abiding in Jesus, we receive a fullness of joy now because one day we'll be in the fullness of His glory. Now, I don't know that I'll be able to follow my outline and give you all the different points of this. Probably I'll get bogged down in point number one, all right? That's typical of me. But anyway, I want to read this reading lesson down to verse 11. Pick up on those points as we go along. Okay. So, he says in verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Let me pause here just for a moment. When you abide in Jesus Christ, those that abide in Jesus Christ, what distinguishes those that really abide in Jesus and are branches that bring forth fruit versus the branches that are cut off, taken down, and perish. The difference and the distinction between those is that the branches that abide in Jesus and bring forth fruit have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Okay, they've been washed. They've been made clean. Now it's obvious here you have two groups and you need to be concerned. Everybody here needs to be concerned that you're not one of those branches that have a superficial attachment to Jesus Christ rather than a supernatural attachment to Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, being saved is a supernatural work of God. Huh? experiencing the life of Jesus in your soul. Listen, I can't put that there. You can't put that there yourself. It must come from God. You must be born from above, and you have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so he kind of just interjects here the distinction between the branches that perish. Now, they claim to be Christians. They have a superficial attachment to Jesus Christ, but they're not real branches. They're not really branches that abide in Christ and receive the life in Christ, because everybody who really is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in them will be fruitful. Okay? Now, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in the 7th chapter of Matthew, you might recall that. He made it real clear in the 7th chapter that you can tell a good tree by the fruit it bears. And he told us, he said, look at a person's fruit to determine whether or not they have been to the fountain and drank of the living water. The difference between those who are simply professors of salvation and those who possess salvation is that those who possess salvation bear fruit. Amen. Those who only have a profession but not a true possession, they do not bear fruit. And they will be taken and they will be burned. They will perish. Okay, so you need to consider that. This record reveals the blessings of abiding, and it also reveals those who are true professors and possessors of salvation. Listen, if you've not been washed, if you've never been to the crimson flow, if you've never drank of the living water, if you've never had your sins canceled and blotted out, if you've never repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ until a new life came in you, you need to be saved. Need to be saved. Need to be saved. That's where it all begins for us. Amen? When we repent of our sins and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a new life that comes in us that wasn't there before. It's the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And that life that gets in us by the Holy Ghost, it enables us to bear fruit. We don't bear fruit on our own. We just don't bear fruit on our own. In Hosea 14 and 8, God said, he said, from me is thy fruit found. We are fruitful. The fruit that we receive, or the fruit that we produce, is the life of God. The life of God in us is what produces the fruit. Okay? God is the life-producing agent. The fruit is mine, God says. God says, from me. It comes from God. Okay, the fruit comes from God. So the power and the life necessary to produce fruit must come from God. Must come from God. So Jesus is saying, notice what he says. You got to be clean, okay? Notice what he says in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So we're talking about abiding. Jesus put a lot of emphasis on abiding. There's like 8 times that he talks about fruit and he talks about abiding. And one of the products of abiding is being fruitful. And that's obvious in these verses. So abide in me and I in you. Because a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Like I said in Hosea 14 and 8, God says, I'm the source. I'm the one that provides the life for fruitfulness. Our productivity is a result of the presence and the power of God. Okay? That's important. He is the source of our energy and the source of our power. When it comes to people getting saved, only God can save them. Amen. When it comes to sanctifying people and bringing people closer to God, only God can sanctify them. Amen. Okay. Only God can produce fruit in your life. You must have Christ in you, and you must be in Christ in order to produce holy, godly, righteous fruit. If a man abides not in me, notice verse 6. Now, abiding not, I believe, I'll be honest with you, only true saved individuals, or all true saved individuals, let me say it that way, all truly saved individuals produce fruit. Now, there may be times where you have, it doesn't seem that they're as productive as they should be. There may be times it seems like it's hid behind the leaves and hard to see, difficult to find. But there will always be fruit in the life of a true believer in Jesus. Amen. Always. Okay? Don't lose sight of that. Yes, I know there's times that we don't experiencing the abiding life like we should. Okay? There's times in our life where it seems like we're not as fruitful as we should be. But our connection to Jesus Christ, in other words, the vine, the true vine, will not fail. Now, Israel, in the Old Testament, failed time and time and time and time again. They were referred to as the vine. They had a vine upon the temple. During the Maccabean period, they had vine on their currency. They understood that God referred to them as a vine. They were a failing vine. They produced sour grapes, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5. But listen, the true Israel and the true vine of God has never failed. That's Jesus. Jesus. The true vine, if you are plugged into Him, your life will produce fruit. Okay? Somewhere you'll have fruit in your life in being connected to Jesus. If Jesus is really in you, you will produce fruit in your life. All right. But those folks who only have a superficial attachment to Christ, those folks who are really not saved but make a profession of being saved without really having their sin debt canceled, people who say they're saved without the presence of the Holy Spirit awakening them and making them alive, they are those that claim to abide but do not produce godly fruit because God is not in them. And he talks about those folks. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They are burned. Reminds us what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. People on that day, would come before him and say, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Do you remember what Jesus said to those folks? He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, it's more than just you knowing the Lord. The Lord needs to know you. There needs to be a connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, a spiritual connection. Are you with me? A life-giving connection has to be to Jesus Christ that you might receive the life from Him, that you might produce fruit. Listen, a branch without the life of Jesus does not produce fruit. But a branch that is tapped into the eternal life that is in Christ Jesus always produces fruit. All right? Now this whole fruit thing, I mean, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Psalms 1, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Y'all know this. Who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seat in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree that's planted by the river of water. Yeah. And what does it say in that passage? It says he will bring forth fruit in his season. Praise God. If you're connected to God, there will be fruit in your life. All right. Well, I was going to read the rest of this, but I'm going to just keep preaching about fruit. I'm going to give you like six things. Okay, man, you need to make sure that you abide in Christ. Listen, and let me read the rest of some of this other, the rest of the abiding. If a man abides not, he is cast forth as branches, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We're talking about prayers being answered. See, this abiding thing, God is faithful to answer the prayers of those that abide in him. Okay, that's what he says. You abide in me, and I will answer your prayers. He's faithful to answer the prayers of those that abide in him. And I might get back to that in just a few minutes. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me. Verse 8 rather. Herein is my Father glorified. How is he glorified? He's glorified by the person who abides in Jesus. The Father is glorified by those that abide in him, that ye bear much fruit. There's the much fruit. You have the fruit, more and much. Okay? When you bring forth much fruit, when much fruit is in your life, then the Heavenly Father is glorified by that. Amen? All right. So it's important for us to bear fruit. It's important to bear more fruit in your life. You need to be bearing more fruit in your life than what you're bearing right now. Amen. Okay, that's what he says. And God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, will prune your life to make that happen. Amen. So you might bear more fruit. And then when you get to the point in your life where you're bearing much fruit from your life, God the Father is glorified by that. Let me read the rest of this because it's just really good. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you. Notice here, he said, now I've spoken these things to you that you might receive my love, that you might receive my glory, that you might receive my joy. Notice what he says in this verse. I have spoken these things unto you. I'm telling you these things that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The fullness of joy that we can receive from the Lord comes from what he has given us in his holy word. Okay, so let's back up and see what he has spoken to us that we might have not only a life that is fruitful, and then we need to understand that because fruitfulness is what actually brings about our prayers being answered, glory to the Father, and also a fullness of joy. All right. Let me say just a word about things that aren't fruit in your life. I think this is important. First of all, fruit is not success. Sometimes, we listen to too many Joel Osteen messages, all right? We're getting the idea that health, wealth, and prosperity is the result of us being in Christ and being fruitful. No! Success is not an indication of a fruitful spiritual life. I think about those old missionaries who went and labored for years. William Carey, Adoniram Judson. Some of them ministered 7 years, Adoniram did, preaching in Berea. For 7 years he preached and didn't see anybody saved. Was it an unfruitful ministry? Or William Carey, the years he spent preaching and didn't see anybody saved. Yet during those times, those men were translating, okay, into those languages which became the framework for extending the revelation of God's holy word to all these different languages. It became a model for other translations. I don't know if you realize it or not, but what William Carey did and Adoniram Judson did when they were missionaries in those foreign lands, they were very fruitful. Though it didn't seem like they were being successful, their ministry was fruitful. Sometimes we think sensationalism or emotionalism is being fruitful. Sometimes we think a spiritual church is an emotional church. Listen, we need to know the difference between being spiritual, the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of emotion. Okay? In Galatians chapter 5, it tells us very clearly, Paul was very specific, the fruit of the Spirit, and he gives us a list, and he starts with love.
Amen.
Yeah? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and meekness, and long-suffering. I mean, you can read it there in Galatians chapter 5. He gives us a list of what true fruit is. But sometimes we think emotional or sensational things are fruitful things, and that's not true. I want to warn you about the fruit. Fruit comes from God into you, and it comes out of your life because of your connection to God. Now, there's a simulated kind of fruit that goes on. We see somebody else fruitful in their life, and then we try to pick up their fruit and tie it onto our branches. Now, we in our kitchen, we've got plastic fruit. You'd be amazed the number of professors of Christianity who have plastic fruit hanging on their branches. They've seen something that somebody else has done, and so they're doing it, and it's not naturally flowing from a converted soul. Okay? This fruit that Jesus was talking about was personal. It is uniquely connected to that individual and uniquely connected to Christ. So what is fruit? I'm going to give you a few things that fruit is. There are many things. We got to go to Galatians 5 and 22 because he said the fruit of the Spirit is this. And we can go through all those things. But I think the summary of Galatians 5 and 22, if you want to turn there, the summary of that is the likeness of Christ. I think the number one thing that will be in your life if you are abiding in Jesus is a desire to be in His likeness. What was it that Paul said in Romans 8? 28. Yeah. You know, all things work together for good, them that love the Lord, them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son. Verse 29, amen? It is the purpose and predestinated, determinate counsel and decree of God that you that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ be in the likeness of Him. Okay, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but people, that is experiencing the fullness of glory, being in His likeness. Man, that makes me happy. Okay, all right, I gotta get my head back. All right. Wow, think about this. This is exciting. All we have to do, folks, is abide in Jesus, and our lives will produce the fruit and the virtues of the likeness of Jesus Christ. Wow! You know, Jesus, when you read that list in Galatians 5 and 22... Jesus was known for His love. No greater love have a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was notoriously known for His love. He was known for His joy. He talks about that in these verses. And even the Philippian writer, Paul, when he wrote to the people of Philippians chapter 2, he said he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. He had joy, amen? He suffered those things because deep inside of him was a divine, eternal, blessed a joy that kept him moving forward. And praise God, it can be in our lives too. All right. What I'm trying to say in this is that somehow in my mind, this list is patterned after the life of Jesus. I mean, when I read this list, I mean, Jesus was known for His joy. He was known for His meekness. He was known for His long-suffering. I mean, when you go through this list of joy and love and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control, all these things, I think, without exception, are characterized in the life of Jesus. And I think that's the point that Paul was driving at in Galatians chapter 5. A fruitful life carries about the virtues and the likeness and the character of Jesus. Don't you want folks to see Christ in you? We sing that song, Christ in Me. So that's number one, I think, one of the principal fruits. I read Galatians 5 and 22, and you can turn there. That's a good verse. You need to have that underscored in your Bible. And I see folks so frustrated. I mean, they're like, okay, I'm going to produce fruit in my life. So I'm going to work on love. I'm going to love everybody. And I'm going to work on peace so I can have the fruit of peace. And they'll have peace and peace and peace. And like they'll sit and meditate and do yoga and do peace. They say, okay, I'm going to have joy. So I'm going to have joy. By the time they get to joy, they stop loving everybody. Okay? Come on now. It don't work that way. If you want a fruitful life, you must be in Jesus. And even churches, listen folks, we get this mentality and this attitude and these ideas from the world that we got to do. And rather than doing, we need to be in Jesus. We need to just simply abide in Him and it'll flow from our life. Amen. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to give you a few more. Listen, we need to worry more about our relationship with Jesus. And the rest will take care of itself. Churches need to consider their relationship with Jesus. People, that's paramount. Our relationship with the Lord. That's what brings power into the church. That's what brings power into your life. That's what brings the life-giving force that produces fruit in your life. I appreciate we've got a lot of young men and young preachers, and I was kind of that way. I'm like, well, our people just don't know enough. They haven't been taught enough. We need to just really pump more knowledge into them. We need to give them more self-helps, and we need to program them into do. I'll tell you where the root of the problem is there's a lack of abiding in Jesus. Amen. It ought to be a natural thing to want to serve the Lord. Amen. I mean, when God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, takes the quill and dips it in the crimson blood of Jesus Christ and writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it ought to have such a profound impact upon you that you want to serve the Lord. And that's what the problem is today. The lack of abiding. I preached from the 12th chapter of Romans for 4 or 5 weeks. And I got very impressed by what Paul was saying. He was encouraging the people to serve the Lord and work for the Lord and offer their bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And he based it solely on the mercies of God. The mercies of being saved. I'll tell you where the root of the problem is. People aren't abiding in Christ. They're not getting in Christ. They're not getting really saved. Because if they were really saved, they would produce fruit. Listen, you can't make somebody live for the Lord. It has to come from God. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. All the preaching and all the sermons won't do it. It takes the presence of God. And we can have the greatest teachers. And we have some great teachers among us. Praise God for them. But listen, it starts with a person at the core of their soul being in Jesus and Jesus being in them. Now I can work with folks like that. I really can. So I got to hurry. All right. Number one thing. Let me say this. All right. You can almost tell when people are trying to tie on plastic fruit to their life. it's like a burden to them, I got to be meek, and they're like, man, you hook up with the Lord and the Lord will make you meek. He'll prune you to love and love more. Yeah, be long-suffering, etc. All right, well, anyway,
The first fruit is the likeness, the virtue and character and likeness of Jesus Christ. That's number one. I've got six. Hold on. All right, I'm going to go through the rest of them rather fast. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, Paul had received monetary help, okay, from this church at Philippi. And he said, I didn't really want the money, didn't need the money, but you need to give the money because giving the money is an indication of a fruitful life. So not only, people got quiet, they didn't mind being like Jesus till it came to, you know, currency. And contributing to the Lord's work. You know, the most intense nerve in a Baptist runs down to his wallet. Yeah. Paul was saying this contribution is an indication of a fruitful life. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. I believe that people, when they get saved, they want to contribute their resources to the advancement of the cause of Jesus. They want to see missionaries succeed, pastors paid, the church advanced. And an indication of an unfruitful life is one who is a covetous person that holds on to their money. A self-centered, covetous person is an indication somebody's just not abiding in Jesus. In Romans chapter 15, verse 28, sounds like you guys need another proof text. Romans chapter 15, I'm giving you a proof text. It's in the Bible. This is. He talks about the sealing of this fruit. In other words, he told the Jews, you know, that Paul was collecting this money, okay, for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And he was saying, look, when I get to go to Jerusalem, I get to show them that the Gentiles are really saved because they've given this money. It is a seal of their fruitfulness before God. In other words, he's trying to tell the Jews that the Gentiles are really on the ball because of this fruitfulness, because of the amount that he had collected to bring back to the poor saints at Jerusalem. Well, whether you like it or not, contributing to the needs of others is an indication of you abiding in Christ and producing fruit. Bible. Y'all want to hear the Bible, don't you? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Number 3. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. The Hebrew writer tells us that offering up praise is an indication of fruitfulness. So not only do we have a Christ likeness, not only do we have contributions to those that are in need, but a confession of thanksgiving and praise. Let me read it for you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So what is the fruit of our lips? It's giving thanks and praise to God. Listen, I like people confessing gratitude toward God. I do. You know, there's churches that you go to that if you have some kind of profound miracle to transpire in your life, they won't let you get up during their service and thank the Lord. I don't like that. When God has done a wonderful work in your life, you need to be able to confess your gratitude and your thankfulness to God for what He has done. The fruit of our lips, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord for what He has done. I like people just getting up and saying, I thank the Lord for saving my soul. Amen. I believe that's fruit. I believe when you go out in the world, when you express your gratitude and your thankfulness to the Lord for the miracles that God has wrought in your life, it's fruit. It's fruit from abiding in Christ. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I'm not going to have time to get to the answering of prayers or God's faithfulness to answer our prayers when we abide in Christ. But let me say this. God is not obligated to answer the prayer of someone who is not saved. He is under no obligation to answer the prayers of the lost other than their prayer for mercy. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't hear and answer. He can if he wants to. He's sovereign. Okay, he's God. God can do whatever he wants to. Looks like he heard the prayers of Cornelius. But he's not under obligation. That's the point I want to make. But listen, folks, when we're in Jesus and we are abiding in his word and in the center of his will, God will hear and he will answer our prayers. And if you don't believe that, then you got a problem with your faith. You got a faith factor going on in your heart and life, and we don't have time to deal with that right now. I just want to thank God for saving me there when I was a 10-year-old boy. I thank God for the church that didn't bother me. They didn't haul me off to some little room and try to counsel me. My parents just told me, when you realize you're lost, you need to repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will let you know when you're saved. Man, I banked my eternity on what they told me and found it to be biblical. I went that night to the altar and I surrendered myself to the Lord, and I stayed there and didn't get up till he saved my soul. Took me a couple hours. Listen, whatever it takes, amen? Amen. Whatever it takes. All right, I got to hurry. But I just want to thank the Lord. So a confession of gratitude and thanksgiving, contributions to the needs. And I think that's the result of abiding in Christ, helping those that are in need, contributing to those needs, needs of the ministry. Listen, folks, those churches that are failing to pay their pastors a sufficient amount, that those churches are failing to abide in Christ. That's the root of the problem. You say, well, they don't have too many people. It only takes 10 people, 10 tithing people. And listen, your time is not your tithe. 10 tithing people. Okay, it's all it takes to support a pastor full time. And that pastor be paid the average of what those members make in that church. And then if he gives 20% back to the church, which most pastors end up doing, or giving back to the cause of Christ, it only takes 8 members tithing. So listen, folks, you know, these excuses just don't work. The problem is not that there's a lack of means, there's a lack of being in Christ. That's our problem. All right. That's 3. I gave you 3, didn't I? All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. There, I know it's talking about tongues, and Paul was teaching about tongues to the Corinthians, and he was saying, you know, you don't go speaking and praying in another language when you're at church. He said, don't do that. Because if you do that, then the understanding is unfruitful. So I want to give you a number 4. I believe that communicating truth is evidence of fruit. Communicating the gospel, communicating truth, teaching the word of God to your family. Listen, folks, if you're parents and you're not telling your children about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not communicating these precious truths of God's holy word, then your life is a fruitless life as a parent. I'm talking about divine fruit, everlasting fruit, which Jesus refers to in the 4th chapter of John. So, communicating truth, okay, is fruit. I believe that. He was saying you need to be plain. You need to be people need to be able to hear you, and in understanding those things, that's fruit. Understanding truth, enabling people to understand truth is fruit. Okay. Let me give you number 5. Number 5 is just, I'm just going to call this conduct in general. Okay, conduct in general. I'll give you a passage. Colossians 1 and 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. In other words, our conduct in general. Our deeds, our life, how we live our life, how we present ourselves, how we carry ourselves. Our conduct, how we handle ourselves at work, on our job, with our neighbors, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Our conduct in general, behaving right, being upright in your dealings. You know, making sure that you don't cast a bad reflection upon Christianity or the Lord's work or His church. Our conduct in general is fruit.
You know, I'm always concerned when I sell a car or do something, you know, in the world or interact with the world that they, you know, what I do, if somebody thinks I've ripped them off, it's a poor reflection upon this church and upon the gospel. And I don't want that to happen. Let me close. Turn to John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4. Jesus had spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. He was resting there on that well while the disciples went in Sychar, a city of Samaria, to get food. A woman came out of the city, saw Jesus on the well. He said, I'll give you this living water. I believe she got a drink of that living water. She left her water pot at the well. Amen. She got filled up, okay? And so she takes off toward the city. The disciples who were buying food for Jesus and themselves are coming out of the city, all right? I suspect they crossed because they saw the woman talking to Jesus. They saw it from a distance, and she left Jesus, went back into the city. She went into the city, and she told the men, she said, people of that city, she said, come seeth the man that told me all things. Is this not the Christ? Bible says some believed him instantly on the saying of the woman. They believed it was the Savior. And so the Bible says that they started coming out of the city toward Jacob's well where Jesus was resting and spoke with a woman. He said, look out over that field. Now keep in mind, the Bible says, verse 31, you know, while the disciples, you know, were talking to him about this, verse 30, the people were coming out, okay? And he says, look out there over that field, all right? Verse 35. Now the grain wasn't ready for harvest. It was 4 months till harvest. The grain was still low. Maybe, I don't know how high it was. I don't know how high grain is till 4 months it's harvested. But the people were walking through that field, okay? They're walking through that field. And Jesus says, look up! Don't say this field's 4 months to harvest. It's white. Those people coming across that field in white robes, he says it's ready, it's white, and to harvest. Those people need to be saved. They need to be converted. Listen, that's another fruit, amen? People getting saved. Conversion. Conversion. Paul said when he was writing, I think it's in the book of Romans, he said, no, it's a fitting chapter of Corinthians. He said he was talking about the people of Achaia, a particular house, the house of Stephanus. The house of Stephanus, they were the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, when he went into that town, he preached, this was the first family that got saved. They were the fruits, the first fruits of that area. They were the first people to get saved. Listen, producing fruit also is conversions. People being brought to the Lord. Now listen, I don't believe in some systematic way, but if you will simply abide in Christ, God will provide you opportunities for harvest. He'll provide you opportunities to witness for Him. Amen? Listen, we've got revival coming on. We need to bring people to the Lord. People need to be saved. He said, look out there, those fields, they're white, ready to harvest. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, verse 35. They're white, those snow-capped robes coming across that field. I can just see those. And as they come, man, they're coming to get saved. Amen? There's the harvest. There's the fruit. Notice what he says. He starts talking about other people already planted this stuff. But the point I want to make is that he calls it fruit in verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life everlasting. That's what I'm talking about. Fruit unto life everlasting. People, the reason we're not seeing more people saved is not that we are not working. It's that we're not abiding. We've got to be in Jesus. Our relationship with Him is paramount. We want to see people saved. We're going to have the power of God. If we're going to see people saved, we need the grace of God. Get a song, Aaron. If we're going to see people saved, it's important for us to abide in Him. The blessings of abiding is seeing your loved ones, your friends, your family saved. That's one of the greatest blessings of abiding in Christ. Rejoicing. And he goes on, talks about, you know, the fruit of people experiencing eternal life. Man, that's where the blessing is. We can rejoice in that harvest. And he talks about the rejoicing in the harvest of seeing folks saved. Man, that is where the blessing is. That's where the abiding is. Seeing people saved. Listen, you can go out and you can go
door to door. I've done that here in this area, Blue Ridge Subdivision. I've gone door to door, and there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to do that. But now listen, folks, getting people saved, the church needs first and foremost to be abiding in Christ. Abiding in Him. That's where it all begins, right there. We got to be in Jesus. Jesus has to be in us. That's what makes us effective evangelists. Amen. That's what makes preachers effective preachers. That's what gives us effective ministries as witnesses for the Lord. That's always been the thing that's made the church effective. Abiding in Him.